Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden years. Mark Levonier, your host for An Hour of Crime, where the Screen Director's Playhouse brings us an adaptation of the movie The Damned Don't Cry. Released in May of 1950, and starring Joan Crawford, she reprises her role as Ethel Whitehead, and Frank Lovejoy takes up the part that David Bryan played on the silver screen. This episode broadcast on NBC on April 5th, 1951.
Screen Director's Playhouse stars Joan Crawford, Frank Lovejoy. Production, The Damned Don't Cry. Director, Vincent Sherman.
This is the Screen Director's Playhouse, the Thursday night feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, and by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. Tonight, the Screen Director's Playhouse is pleased to present a study in dramatic conflict. Our story is the motion picture hit, The Damned Don't Cry. And our stars are Joan Crawford and Frank Lovejoy. In bold type, the headline read, Racket Leader, Public Enemy Number 2, Slain. Beneath, in subtitle, it continued, Body found in home of missing socialite, Mrs. Lorna Hanson Forbes. Police fear Texas oil heiress, victim of crime syndicate. Why was she missing? Why was she dead? Or was she alive? Alan Fowler of the Times searched half over America and found his story in a ramshackle, disheveled house in Oil City.
Just who are you, Mrs. Forbes?
Who am I? What do you mean?
Well, you're listed as a Texas oil heiress, daughter of John Hanson. Now, there is no such animal as John Hanson. As for the Forbes label, you're supposed to be the widow of Robert Forbes, Wyoming oil magnate. Would you care to read the vital statistics?
Don't bother. I know. There never was a Robert Forbes.
Uh-huh. Then who are you?
I'm so tired, Mr. Fowler. Very tired. Tired of running away.
Why are you running? What is your connection with the crime syndicate?
I'm going for a ride, Mr. Fowler. A one-way ride.
Huh?
Don't look so startled. Sure, I'm frightened. I've been out of my mind for days with fear. Maybe I've got it coming. Maybe I haven't, but all I know is I can't stand the waiting and I can't keep running.
Why don't you start from the beginning?
The beginning. It was right here in this broken-down house with a derrick in the backyard and smelly grease pots in the front. 2 years ago, we buried my 5-year-old son, Tommy. And there was nothing to hold me here any longer. I was sick of being poor and sick of the man I called my husband. So I packed and went to New York. I was pretty naive when I got a job as a model in a wholesale dress house and discovered that my major duty was to entertain out-of-town buyers at night. One night, Sandra, another model, and myself were returning from a date, my first.
Enjoy yourself, Ethel, honey?
I feel like something that was on a sale in a bargain basement. I'm one big bruise from here to here.
Well, they wrestle with you a little. It's no worse than the subway. Hey, you got to stop being antisocial. This living by yourself, that's for channel swimmers. You're having a great time, and at retail prices. Here's
$20. $20? What's this for?
Your cut. Whenever we steer a couple of the buyers into Grady's back room to shoot dice, he gives us a bonus. We split 50-50. It helps, don't it? Hey, how about us working as a team?
No, thanks. I'd better learn one job at a time.
But it's all the same job. It's still modeling, only it pays better at night. Look, hon, don't kick opportunity in the teeth. What else have you got to sell but a face and a figure?
I didn't come to New York to be a tramp.
Neither did you come to New York to live in that crummy rumming house. Is that what you're looking forward to?
Well, no.
Then cut out your beefing and cooperate.
Great racket, this modeling business, Sandra. Here's your 20 from last night.
What are you giving me?
Your cut, the two suckers from Nebraska.
What did you do, shave it off with a razor?
I did what you did. I split it down the middle.
Don't hand me that. I saw Grady slip you 100. Since when is 20 right down the middle?
Since I began using your arithmetic book. Look, the first night we started, you gave me 20. I found out from Grady it should have been 50. This just straightens out the bookkeeping.
It does more than that, honey. It closes the books. I'm getting myself a new partner.
And I'm heading for the showroom. Oh, while you're getting a new partner, you better get yourself a couple of other new items, if you'll excuse the expression.
Why, you...
Miss, would you be kind enough to bring me a cup of water from the cooler?
Sure. Here you are, Mr.
Martin Blackford. Oh, what a headache I've got.
Sorry. I'm Ethel Whitehead. I work here as a model.
Huh?
Hey, what are you doing here with these books?
I'm a CPA.
What's that?
Certified public accountant.
Say, that's pretty big stuff.
Yes, I'm with Tuttle and Wagner, tax consultants. We take care of your auditing.
My what?
Your books and records. I mean, the firm.
Oh, yeah, I see. How come I never saw you here before?
Well, I only come over about once a month, usually on a Saturday afternoon.
I'm usually off then. So there you are. It must have been fate.
Huh?
F-A-T-E. Certified Public Fate.
Oh. Well, I'm afraid I must really get back to work.
What if you don't?
Well, Secretary of the Treasury won't like it. Neither will Mr. Talbot. It's my job to keep them both happy.
And you do that with nothing but this pencil?
Well, it takes a little brain, too.
I'll bet. How much of that is it going to take today?
Oh, I'll be here till around 9, 10 o'clock.
Oh, when do you eat?
Whenever I finish.
Now, that's what's giving you those headaches. You're skipping too many meals. You're just kidding yourself. Keep on doing it, and pretty soon you can't work. Your company goes to pot, and then where are you? You're dead.
I never thought of it in quite that way.
Well, see you later.
Too bad he won't see you at Grady's tonight, Angel.
You'll see me all right, with the big money bags. A CPA. Certified public accountant to you, dearie. Reading the menu spoils my appetite, George. Just bring me the squab with wild rice, asparagus with hollandaise, a small mixed green salad with a touch of garlic, Cherry's Jubilee, and a double martini. What are you having, Martin?
Huh? Oh, I'll have a chicken salad sandwich and a cup of coffee.
But I thought you said you were hungry.
I'm afraid reading this menu sort of spoiled my appetite.
Are you sick or something?
No, just a bit embarrassed. Afraid I'm short of funds.
Oh, that's all right. They'll take your check.
I don't think you quite understand, Miss Whitehead. How much do you think an accountant earns?
Well, I just took it for granted that a man who... Well, the Treasury Department. Oh, I assume that at least you made something
less
like...
Less than that. Here's an item on the menu that's half a day's salary. I make exactly $60 a week.
Well, of all the crummy deals...
Oh, not really. Salary isn't everything, you know. Oh, they're a very nice firm.
Are you on the level?
Oh, don't worry. I'll manage all right. I like chicken salad sandwiches.
Don't be silly. Nobody likes chicken salad sandwiches. All that education, brain, and for what? 60 lousy bucks a week.
You'd be surprised what my mother could do with it.
You support a mother, too?
Oh, she's quite a manager.
She'd have to be a magician. Well, you could make more than that bouncing drunks out of here.
Well, I see you made it. Oh, who's this gentleman? I thought I knew most of our out-of-town buyers.
Out-of-town buyers? Oh, boy. The boys in Washington will love that, won't they, Martin? Mr. Blackford happens to be a tax consultant associated with the Treasury Department.
Tuttle and Wagner, really.
So many connections, I just can't keep them straight.
Oh, well, Mr. Blackford, in case I ever have any tax problems, I'll know who to call.
That's fine. He'll send over his office boy to add up your tips.
A great sense of humor. She used to sell more cigarettes that way.
Hello, folks.
Why, Grady, I'd like you to meet Mr. Blackford. He's connected with the Treasury.
And how are you, sir?
I'm afraid Miss Whitehead's a little confused. My only contact with the Treasury Department's when I make a mistake.
You make money of them?
Certainly not. That's what the clients pay for. He's a CPA.
Oh, well, whatever he is, any friend of yours is a friend of mine.
That means certified public accountant.
Yeah, sure, CPA, I know. Say, after you finish your dinner, you and Mr. Blackford might like to drop into the black room for
No, he couldn't possibly. He's right in the middle of a terrific problem. He barely has time for a sandwich.
Well, it's just a friendly little game.
Grady, he's got to rush right back. I keep telling him what's the point of having a brain from here to here and making a bundle of money this high if you can't take time off from starving.
Well, that's too bad. Say, Mr. Blackford, I don't suppose you could stop by my office on your way out for just a second.
What about?
Well, just a personal problem. I made one of those little mistakes with the Treasury myself. This morning, they contacted me personal. Mr. Blackford, I certainly would appreciate a little professional advice if you could spare it.
I think we could possibly squeeze in the time. Huh, Marty?
Huh? I don't know why not. After all, friends of yours are friends of mine.
Have you got a cigarette, Mr. Fowler?
Yeah, sure. Here.
Thank you.
Well, continue with your story, Mrs. Forbes.
My story. The small town girl who wanted to make good in the big city. The small town girl who was only interested in big fish. Well, when Marty finished looking over Grady's books, the next thing that happened was that the meal was on the house and he'd been offered a job as accountant for Grady. Then we were walking home. You're a genius, Marty. $100 extra a week. Your chicken salad days are over. And this isn't the only job waiting for us. Grady has plenty of friends. And I'll bet they got tax problems sticking out all over them.
Well, I certainly appreciate what you've done for me, Miss Whitehead, but...
First thing you do is to learn to call me Ethel.
Yes, I'd like to, Ethel.
Now, go ahead. You appreciate it, but what?
Well, I'm not really sure I should accept the job. Tuttle and Wagner might not approve of it.
Why not? It's on your own time. What you do a few nights a week is your business, isn't it?
Yes, but I feel I owe them at least an explanation.
All you owe them is what they pay you for. And for what they pay you, you can take a few days off.
Well, I know it isn't much, but...
Did they ever tell you not to take an outside job?
No, but...
All right, then you be snooty, too. Don't tell them.
All right. I'll take it on one condition, and that's that you share it with me. The fee, I mean.
Well, I wouldn't think of it. You mean like a percentage?
Why not? I guess you could use the money as well as I can. I wouldn't feel right otherwise.
Well, I wouldn't want you to do anything you thought was wrong.
Good, then it's settled. After all, you're responsible for this whole thing, Ethel. I wouldn't have had the nerve.
You don't need it, Marty. I got enough for both of us. Hi, Marty. I thought you were working tonight.
I am, but even night workers have to eat.
Now you're getting smart.
I was hoping I could have dinner with you.
Oh, I can't. I have a date.
Out of town buyer?
Yeah. What about tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night I'm busy. Grady has a new account for me.
Another one? That's wonderful. That makes four of them. If you're not careful, Marty, you're going to wind up a rich man.
Just makes it tougher to see you.
I wish you'd called earlier.
I didn't know earlier.
Here, zip me up, will you?
Oh, sure. I was working, and all at once I just felt I had to see you. Couldn't you break that date tonight?
I'd love to, Marty, but it's impossible. He's a big chain store buyer, one of our most important customers.
But it's been such a long time.
Well, if it isn't my old friend Grady.
Hello, Ethel.
Sorry, I'm going to have to rush out on you.
Oh, this isn't a social call. I just came to pick up Marty. We're going to a meeting.
But I'm due back in Malloy's tonight.
Malloy will be there, too.
What kind of meeting?
Business, big business. Like an invitation to the White House from the Prexy himself. Coming, Marty?
Sure, he's coming. And Marty, if you'd like, I'll come with you.
Oh, wait a minute, Ethel. George didn't tell me to bring you.
This George? Did he tell you not to bring me?
Why should he? He doesn't even know you're alive.
All right, let's prove to him I am.
But what about your date?
Where your interests are concerned, Marty, my date can go to the movies.
Thanks, Ethel.
Oh, but George wants to see Marty, not you.
All right, we'll leave it up to Marty. If he wants me, I'll come. If not...
I'd like to have her along, Grady.
White House should look like this. What's George president of? A diamond mine?
That statue over here, Ethel, is an Etruscan.
A what?
An Etruscan refers to an early art period. Etruria was an ancient country with a highly developed civilization located in what is now known as Italy.
This is Marty Blackford, George Castleman.
I've heard a great deal about you, Mr. Blackford.
Well, I hope it's been favorable.
If it weren't, you wouldn't be here.
And this is Miss Whitehead.
How do you do?
How do you do? I don't think I've heard anything about you, Miss Whitehead.
Oh?
Ethel's Marty's friend. He doesn't go anywhere without her.
I wonder if Marty's friend would release him long enough for a very short business session.
So long as it's short and he's in good company.
Grady, would you take Marty into the library and introduce him to the gentleman there?
Oh, sure, sure thing. Let's go, Marty.
Miss Whitehead, I must say I admire your choice of friends.
I like men with brains.
It's a quality that isn't offensive in women either. Did I get you a drink?
No, thanks.
I hope you'll be able to amuse yourself while Mr. Blackford and I are in the library.
I'll try to find something.
I wish I knew what to suggest.
You might invite me into the library.
There's one thing I never do in the presence of women. Discuss business.
That should leave you plenty of room for other interests.
I have no other interests. Even my wife understands that.
What happened? What happened in the library, Marty?
Oh, Mr. Castleman offered me a job. Secretary of the Treasury. Grady and the others are just little outposts in an empire. They have everything in the empire except a good accounting system.
And they want you to give it to them.
Yes. Castleman's going to open up a suite of offices with my name on the door. I'm going to run the whole show.
Oh, Marty, that's wonderful.
But it's more than just a bookkeeping office. It's a front. Front for the biggest wire service in the country.
I knew it. I knew you'd come through. Because you got brains. I knew it the first time I talked to you. Now Castleman knows it, too.
You haven't heard a word I said. It's to be a wire service for bookmaking, betting. Wires to every racetrack and sports arena in the country.
So what?
So what? It's illegal. It's against the law. As long as there's a wire service in the back and I know about it, I'm an accessory after the fact. They can throw you in the penitentiary for that.
What did you tell Castleman?
Nothing. He never gave me a chance. He just told me what I was going to do.
What are you going to do?
What do you think? I'm going to get out fast.
Are you crazy? You can't get out now. I won't let you.
You mean you want me to be like them, a criminal?
You bet I want you to be like them, smart. Look, nothing's going to happen to you. Castleman won't let it.
You don't understand, Ethel. This is a syndicate of organized crime. It's not just betting and gambling, but narcotics. Every kind of vice and corruption you can think of.
I don't want to think about it. And you don't have to think about it either. You'll be an accountant, just like you always have been.
There's such a thing as self-respect.
Self-respect? That's something you tell yourself you got when you got nothing else. Where's the self-respect in living on chicken salad sandwiches? In being afraid to blow your nose because Tuttle and Wagner don't like the noise?
At least it's decent.
And what good is that? Can you pay the rent with it? Can you live like George Castleman? Have a butler call you sir and light your fire?
Having a butler light a fire has never been one of my ambitions.
And what is your ambition? A hole in the wall stuffed with decency and self-respect? Look, Marty, the only thing that counts is the stuff you can take down to the bank. Oh, I know how you feel. You're a nice guy. But it's not a nice guy's world. If you don't kick and punch and belt your way up, nobody's going to give you a lift. We've got to do it ourselves, because nobody cares about us, except us.
Ethel, you think it's right for me to take it?
I'm not saying it's right. I'm only saying if you don't, what happens? You go back to Tuttle and Wagner and wait for your pension. And I go back to waiting for the out-of-town buyers. And that new house for your mother, that goes on the waiting list, too. Is that what you want?
You know it isn't.
Then there's no other way. Not for us.
If I could only be sure it was for us.
What do you think I've been talking about? Kiss me, darling. Kiss me.
Come in, Miss Whitehead.
Thanks, Mr. Castleman.
Grady told me Blackford didn't go anywhere without you. He didn't tell me that you went anywhere without Blackford.
Grady doesn't know as much as he thinks. I had a talk with Martin last night. The office idea's okay. He's agreed to come in.
Is there any question about it?
Yeah, a big question. Martin has an important position with a very old and reliable firm. He has a reputation to maintain. He'd be giving up quite a lot to come in with you.
Oh, really? Martin Blackford is 34 years old. He earns $60 a week at Tuttle and Wagner. He lives with his mother in a cheap suburb. He drives a broken-down jalopy. Until he was hired by Grady, he never owned more than 2 suits of clothes at one time.
Well, there are other things. The terms. And there's a little matter of protection.
Protection? From whom?
Why, from whoever you need protection from, or is running a bookie joint legal these days.
Miss Whitehead, I never initiate a project until I'm assured of the cooperation of the proper authorities. As for the terms, I think Mr. Blackford can safely leave those to me.
No, I didn't mean to give you a fast shuffle. It's just that, well, he hasn't had much experience at this kind of thing.
You seem a little new at it yourself. Sit down. Now, what did you really come to see me about?
Well,
excuse me while I open the window. What kind of perfume are you using?
Temptation.
Yes, I suppose it is in some quarters.
Let me tell you
now,
something.
Now, what were you going to say?
I was about to say it was a pleasure being associated with a gentleman. But I made a mistake. It's no pleasure and you're no gentleman. You enjoy making a person look like 2 cents, don't you? Well, get this straight. I don't like being made to look like 2 cents. Especially by somebody who was small change himself not so long ago.
Now, what do you mean by that?
I mean Joe Cavaney, who changed his name to George Castleman. You and your Etruscan flower pots. You and your sensitive nose. Since when did Joe Cavaney know anything about perfume? Since you were a loudmouth hoodlum hijacking beer trucks in Jersey, running rum from Cuba, plugging guys for a $10 bill? I can find out things, too.
You didn't waste any time.
I don't have any time to waste. I'm leaving.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I made the mistake last night. I should have invited you into the library. I admire a woman with brains, but a woman with brains and spirit excites me. A woman like that reminds me of Joe Cavaney. What is it you want?
I want what Joe Cavaney wanted. And what George Castleman has.
I think you're quite capable of getting it, too. Must be a place in my organization for someone like you.
I already have a place in your organization.
I had in mind a somewhat more prominent place. Although there's quite a lot you'll have to learn.
I could learn it.
For example, lesson number 1. It's an Etruscan vase, not a flower pot. Being able to own it is one thing. To appreciate it is another. Lesson number 2, cheap perfume is cheap perfume, no matter who tells you, Cavaney or Castleman. And lesson number 3, take that loud hat off your head. A well-dressed woman never wears anything that deflects a man's attention from her face. Now that I see it, it's a very pretty face.
Exactly what kind of place in your organization did you have in mind, Mr. Castleman?
It's too soon to judge. We'll have to see in which direction your capabilities lie.
You're asking for trouble, aren't you?
I never got anything yet worthwhile without trouble. Only don't take this kiss for anything more than it's worth.
It may be worth more than you think. Would you please pour me another bourbon, Mr. Fowler?
Yeah, sure. There you are.
Thank you. When a girl from the wrong side of the tracks wants sables and minks in a hurry, she hasn't time to ask too many questions, has she? George Castleman was my kind of guy. Rich, affluent. And we began seeing quite a bit of each other. Privately, that is. Then one day I visited Martin in his new office. George was there.
Hello, Ethel.
Hi, Marty.
Ethel, now that I have a private office, there's something private I'd like to say.
What's that?
Here. When I was a kid, they used to call it an engagement ring. I've been wanting to say it a long time. This just makes it official. Go ahead, put it on.
No, I can't.
You mean you can't now?
No, I mean I can't ever.
But I thought you told me after we got all this...
You don't need me anymore, Marty. You're on your way. You're a success.
Oh, look, go find yourself another girl, will you? A girl as nice as you are.
I don't want another girl. I want you. I always thought we'd... Well, as soon as we got what we wanted, that you and I...
But I'm no good for you.
I never said you were, but that doesn't matter. It's too late for that. I want you to marry me.
I'm sorry, Marty.
You're sorry? What kind of an answer is that? Then why did you do this to me? This office, that wire room, this whole stinking business. Do you think I wanted it? I hate it. I hate every part of it. I only did it because of you. I did it for you, Ethel. I thought it was the only way I could have you.
Well, you had no right to think that.
You made me think.
I didn't make you do anything. If you didn't want all this, you didn't have to take it. And if you don't want it now, you can leave. Nobody's holding you. Nobody's twisting your arm.
You couldn't have done this to me deliberately. You couldn't have planned it this way. No, something must have happened. There's somebody else. That's it, isn't it? Answer me.
Yes. He's promised me the world, Marty. And I've got to have it.
This world he's promised you. Does it include a ring like this?
I never asked. I'm not even sure it matters. I can't help it, Marty. I just can't help myself.
I'm afraid I'll have to be pushing along, Marty. I thought if Miss Whitehead wanted a lift, I'd be glad to drop her.
So long, Marty. I'm ready, Mr. Castleman.
Miss Whitehead?
Yeah?
I'm Patricia Longworth. A mutual friend told me I might find you here in this bar. May I join you?
Yeah, of course.
He tells me you're interested in a new apartment and some new clothes, etc. He thought I might be able to offer some helpful advice.
If George thinks I need advice, why doesn't he give it to me himself? Or doesn't he want to be seen with me in public?
Miss Whitehead, I happen to know that our friend sees rather great potentialities in you. So far as being seen with you in public... Well, you must remember he is a married man, and... Well, he does occupy a position of some importance in the community.
Okay, I'll buy that. Now, just who are you, and how do you fit in? What are you selling?
My old social contacts. Some of them are still open, and they have a certain market value to some of my newer contacts. People such as our friend. Now, let's start with your name. Ethel Whitehead. I wonder if we couldn't find something more provocative. Let's see now. How about Mrs. Forbes? Mrs. Lorna Hanson Forbes.
Suits me.
Steel, isn't it? Or is it tobacco?
No oil.
Oh.
There were derricks in my backyard.
Now, I'd say you need one more thing. A touch of the continent. The south of France. You know, broadening your scope, giving you the proper background. And that will take about a year.
A year?
If we work diligently at the job.
Now, repeat after me, Madame Forbes. Voulez-vous aller au ballet avec moi?
Huh?
Repeat after me. Voulez-vous aller au ballet avec moi?
Voulez-vous aller au ballet avec moi?
Oh, bien, bien.
Mrs. Lorna Hanson Forbes, charge accounts. Mink coat, $6,000. Champagne, $3,000. Diamond bracelet.
With your discretion, George. All these people watching us.
Who cares about people? You're beautiful.
Oh, my darling.
Mission completed.
Whatever became of Ethel Whitehead?
Oh, didn't you know?
Mm-mm.
She ran away with Joe Cavaney. They were married and lived happily ever after.
Well, they deserve each other. I'm only interested in the Castlemans and the Forbes in their future.
Sorry to interfere with your evening like this, Mr. Castleman, but something came up that couldn't wait.
Well, let's have it.
Please sit down, Martin.
No thanks, Ethel.
The name is Mrs. Lorna Hanson Forbes.
Mrs. Forbes. It's about Grady. Nick Penn has been trying to reach you long distance. Grady's been killed.
Killed?
Automobile accident. He was drinking. Must have lost control of his car.
Drinking? Who says so?
Prenta found a bottle in the wreck.
Well, Prenta lied. Grady doesn't drink. He was murdered. Grady must have been on the track of something, and Prenta found out, and that's why he killed him. That cheap hood, I pulled him out of a garbage can and gave him a start. I'm going to dump him back in the garbage can.
That's quite a problem now that he's been alerted.
Unless we send out someone to check, someone he'd never suspect. Lorna.
No.
Oh, you can't be serious.
I don't know anyone I'd have more confidence in, anyone more perfect for the job. You can do it, Lorna. You're the one person who can find out if he killed Grady.
George, you really want me to go out there?
Well, why not? Nick is a setup for you. He's always sucking around cafe society.
Well, you can't let her risk it. He's a killer.
Listen, bookkeeper, you're paid to keep my accounts, not to tell me what I'm doing. Now, get out.
George.
Get out!
George, did it ever occur to you that I might have something to say about this?
I'm sorry, dear. What did you wish to say?
From what I've heard tonight, Mr. Prenta isn't likely to pour out his life story without very strong inducements. There must be a limit to, well, how far you want me to try to induce him.
Well, you know how to handle it. I've got to know what's going on out there.
Would you send your wife?
Why bring my wife into it?
Why bring me into it?
Because my wife is incompetent for this job, and you're not. I equipped you for it. Every Paris label, they can all pay off now.
What am I? One of your slot machines? Another racetrack? Another wire service you've underwritten? Is that all I've meant? Just another investment?
You know better than that. Forget it and forgive me. I simply took it for granted that you were part of me and the things that concerned me. I see I had no right to take that much for granted.
You had every right to ask anything of me. But please don't ask me to believe that you've regarded me as a part of you.
We've both had to wait, Lorna. I don't think it'll be much longer. If you do this job for me, I promise when you get back, I'll be free. Will you believe me?
I learned a long time ago, George, that the customer's always right.
One newspaper calls you an Oklahoma heiress, another says you're from Wyoming. Which is it, Mrs. Forbes?
Are you this inquisitive with everyone you meet, Mr. Prenta?
It's a habit I picked up in my business.
Well, perhaps that's where it should stay.
It's a good rule any place. People I deal with, I like to know about.
And in what way do you feel you're dealing with me?
Well, right now, I'm only dancing with you. As for the future, I had something more interesting in mind.
Then you'd better change your mind. Have I made myself clear, Mr. Prenta?
My friends call me Nick.
Oh, I wouldn't be so presumptuous as to try to break into your little circle of friends.
I moved into your circle. Oh, come on, come on. Don't you think we're wasting a lot of time? What are you doing tomorrow?
You're the masterful type. You tell me. Nick, I'd say your swimming pool is the best-looking one in the West.
Yeah, it ought to be. I spent over $10,000 for it. Lorna, how long have we known each other?
6 wonderful weeks, Nick.
A long-distance call, Mr. Prenta. Detroit.
Yeah, coming. Wait here for me, Lorna, will you? It'll only be a few minutes.
All business, right.
Huh? Yeah, all right, we'll work out the details tonight. No, you better let me call you. We'll make arrangements to pick you up in Chicago. Yeah, don't worry about it. Hold it, Eddie. What are you doing here, Lorna? Thought I told you to wait by the pool.
Could I have a cigarette?
There's a half dozen trays around the pool filled with cigarettes.
And there must be more than half a dozen women who could be, well, calling you long distance.
So long, Eddie. You're jealous, Lorna, huh? That's good.
No, I'm not so sure. I've been warned about you, Nick. I have a friend who has a friend who's, well, who's heard rumors.
You believe rumors?
Yes, sometimes. I'm told that you're... Well, that you've even ordered men killed.
That's what I mean about rumors.
Well, do you?
Do I what?
Order men to be killed.
Lorna, your old man made his money in oil. Made you an heiress. I never knew my father or anyone I could call that, so I've had to make it myself. I'm making it. But there's always people who try to take it away. You either protect what you got or you got nothing.
And to do that, you'd kill...
You don't like what you're hearing, huh?
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Well, that's because you never had to be a part of it. You never had to watch yourself 24 hours a day against somebody trying to cut you down. The guy he sends out to trip you up. The guys you can't trust. You gotta take measures, that's all.
Nick, suppose you couldn't trust me. Would you order me killed?
No, Lorna. I'd do it myself.
Thank you, Nick. No, no. Save the kiss for tonight.
I can't make it tonight.
Oh? That long-distance call?
Maybe. I'm expecting some people over. Strictly business.
Oh.
What's the matter? Don't you trust me?
Maybe. It depends on what kind of business.
Ethel?
What are you doing here, Martin?
I go where George sends me. Sent me here to check on one of his investments. Hasn't heard from you in some time.
He hasn't heard from me because I've had nothing to report. I've been doing the best I can.
Yes, George knows you've been busy. He's had reports on that.
Look, I was ordered to ingratiate myself with Nick Prenter. That's exactly what I've done. No more, no less.
George thinks you've been taking his orders too literally. I'm inclined to agree with him.
Your agreement or disagreement doesn't interest me.
No? You'd be amazed to learn how highly my opinions are regarded, Ethel. That's why I'm in a position to offer you some advice. Don't hold out on George. If you do... Now, are you absolutely certain you've learned nothing?
Nothing he didn't already know.
Prenter did have Grady killed.
Yes.
What else?
Nothing else.
In all the time you've been with him, all the hours alone, you've learned nothing else, not even the people he talks to?
Well, sometimes there are calls, long distance.
From whom?
I don't know.
From where?
Well, there was one from Detroit.
When?
This afternoon.
Go on, what's the rest? What'd you hear?
Well, nothing, except that, well, he's expecting some people tonight. It's business, a meeting. That's all I know, Marty, and all I want to know. I've had enough.
Oh, you're upset. I thought you were enjoying your work. Or has Prenter become important to you?
He means nothing to me. Except he's a human being, and he trusts me.
Don't tell me that disturbs you, taking advantage of a man's trust. Well, you can ease your stricken conscience because your friend won't be vulnerable much longer.
What do you mean by that?
You don't think George intended him to live, do you?
No.
George had been waiting until he had all the facts, and you're going to get them.
No, I can't. I won't.
You're going to find out every person who's at that meeting and why he's there.
I can't go through with it. This is killing you're talking about. A man's life. I want no part of it.
You want no part of it. You are a part of it. What do you think you've been living on, playing on, traveling on? Where do you think the money came from that converted you into the fashionable Mrs. Forbes? Came from 100 killings, 1,000 beatings, all the pennies and nickels and dimes squeezed out of 1,000,000 fists. All the $3 payments at the foot of the stairs to help make you a lady of refinement. No, you can't get out of it, Miss Whitehead. You hitched a ride on the roller coaster and it doesn't stop and nobody gets off until the trip's over.
Marty, please help me.
Oh, how can I? You wanted the trip and you took me along with you. I can't help you now any more than I can help myself. Now, just do what George sent you to do. Find out about that meeting tonight.
Take it easy, boys. I'll see who it is.
Unscheduled visitors are frowned upon in better circles, I know.
Something wrong, Lorna?
Yes, I'm afraid I've come down with a terrible malady, Nick. A bad case of jealousy. But I had to be sure.
About who I was with tonight?
Yes.
Come here. Come on, I want you to meet your competition. All right, take a look. Real heart crushers, aren't they? This is Mr. Lohman, Mr. Hart, Bender, Joe Sheffield. Boys, Mrs. Lorna Hanson Forbes.
Haven't we met before, Mrs. Forbes?
What? Oh, I'm afraid I don't recall you, Mr. Lohman.
I'm Hart.
Oh.
He's Lohman.
Oh. Sorry, are you from around here, Mr. Hart?
Kansas City, but I get back east a lot.
Well, I guess you must have seen my picture in the paper. Yes, that's it. Someone's always recognizing me. Gentlemen, I offer my apologies for the interruption. Back to your national convention. Nick, try to forgive me.
Come on, Lana, see outside.
Oh, I'm so ashamed, Nick. I shouldn't have come here. I'm sorry.
No, you couldn't have picked a better time. Those fellas in there work for the same guy I work for, George Castleman. Lorna, in exactly 48 hours, Mr. Castleman's going to be canceled out. They'll be working for me. The whole country will be mine. Oh, Lorna, I want you to share it with me. Well, what's the matter? I'm not good enough? I'm not good enough?
I didn't say that.
But that's it, isn't it? That's what you really have to face, isn't it?
No, I
know the right people. I wear the right clothes, but I don't bleed the right color, huh?
No, stop it.
Let's see what color I bleed. When this goes through, I'll be on my way. Do you understand that? I'll have your old man's oil. I'll own all your gold-plated friends. Maybe then my name will be worth something to you. Maybe then you wouldn't mind sharing it, huh?
Share your name?
I've been asking you to marry me.
Oh, no.
Hey, what's that for?
Nick, I'm scared. I'm scared about what you're doing, what you're planning, what it'll lead to.
You're that scared for me?
Yes.
I mean that much to you?
Nick, how much do I mean to you?
Well, everything I have. Is that enough?
Yes. If you'll give it up. If you'll get out of this whole thing.
If that's what it'll take to have you, you've got a deal. I can check out inside of a year.
No, it'll be too late.
But then. I can't get out now. This is the big jump. I gotta see it through.
Please, Nick, give it up. Don't go through with it.
It's too late, baby. The wheels are already turning.
Nick, could I see you a minute?
Yeah, okay, Eddie. You go home, Doc. I'll call you later.
Patricia! Patricia!
She isn't here. Gone to a movie. George sent her.
George?
Hello, Lorna. Aren't you glad to see me?
How did you get here?
I haven't been too far away. How was the meeting?
Meeting? What meeting?
The meeting you told Marty about at Nick's house.
Well, there was no meeting. I misunderstood.
You mean there were no visitors? Only yourself?
Well, there were a few, some local friends.
I see. You lying little double-crosser.
George, lay off.
Wasn't Sam Lohman there from Cleveland and Eddie Hart from Kansas City?
Yes.
What are they doing? What are they planning?
I don't know, George. I don't know.
They're out to get me, aren't they?
Yes.
And you're covering up for them.
No.
I'll kick your head in. I'll beat your brains apart.
Stop it, George. Stop it.
Stay out of this, you bookkeeper.
George, wait. She can help us. She can still be useful.
When I get through with her, she won't be of use to anybody.
Stop it. She can help us get
Prenda. No.
George, listen to me. You want Prenda, don't you? She can get him for us tonight, here. We'll all be in the clear. George, stop it. George, look. She can call him on the phone and get him over here. He'll never know. She'll tell the police it was self-defense. He tried to attack her.
Yeah.
Take a look at her face, George. Look at her. It'll work. Don't you see? It's perfect.
Okay, Marty, okay. You got a brain, the best kind, the kind you don't have to go out and buy. I'll pick her up and put her in that chair.
Yeah, all right.
Give her the phone. Tell her what to do.
All right, call Nick Prenda. Tell him you want to see him. Tell him to get over here right away. Alone. Please, Lorna.
Marty, I just can't do it.
You've got to.
No, I can't.
What's the number?
Why don't... That's Nick. All right, Lorna. Get to the door and let him in.
He has his own key.
You little tramp.
Oh!
One wrong word and I'll kill you both.
Lorna.
Yes, Nick.
I want to apologize for busting in on you, Mrs. Forbes. I know it isn't done in your set, but your friend Eddie Hart told me it would be okay. He said Castleman might not like it so much.
Nick, I didn't
But
tell...
that Ethel Whitehead would go for anything, and I believe him. I told you what I'd do to
You're
you.
You're not going to have time to do anything.
Castleman! Watch it, George. He's getting his gun.
That's what he hopes. Nick wasn't even a good hoodoo. Marty, where's Ethel?
She beat it. She's in her car.
All right, let her go, Marty. I'll get her no matter where she hides.
Not a very pretty story, is it, Mr. Fowler? But I want you to print every word of it. I want nothing left unsaid.
Uh-huh. Why?
Well, let's understand each other. I've never been possessed by humanitarian instincts, but listen, Mr. Fowler. There must be hundreds, thousands of girls like I was, trapped by poverty and wanting to escape. Let them be ambitious. Let them try to better themselves, but not my way. It's much too expensive. Do you want to wait around and watch the fade out of the notorious Lorna Hanson Forbes? Oh, you wouldn't be a good newspaper man if you didn't.
Lorna.
Marty.
You better get your things. You can't stay here. You've unfinished business with George. He's on his way here. Unless the police get to him first. They're looking for him. You see, I told them who killed Pronto.
You told them? But what will George do?
Doesn't matter.
That means your unfinished business, too.
That doesn't matter either.
You did it for me. For me. Oh, Marty, it makes no sense.
Has everything you've done made sense? We do what we do because we're made a certain way.
Yes, but what I did, there was a hope for some return, some kind of dividends. For you, there's nothing. There never can be. Not even a promise.
I know that. I kept a very good set of books for everyone but myself.
Ethel! Send out Blackford.
George, he's outside. Where are you going, Ethel?
Hello, George.
Where's Blackford?
I don't know. I haven't seen him.
What are you doing out here? Waiting for me, I suppose.
Strangely enough, George, there was a time when I did wait for you and nobody else.
Well, that's past. Where's Blackford?
I don't know.
All right, come on, let's get going.
Sure, George.
I figured I could draw you out, Marty. You're not very bright. Start saying your prayers.
George, no! No!
Ethel!
Oh!
George, I'm going to blast your head off.
Ethel. Ethel, darling. Ethel, I'll get a doctor. You'll be all right. You have to be.
Don't look so sad, Marty.
Oh,
it's the only way. Maybe this will help balance the books, Marty.
So ends our adaptation of The Damned Don't Cry. Now here again are tonight's stars, Joan Crawford and Frank Lovejoy.
You know, Shakespeare said, the play's the thing. And we all agree. If he were alive today and around motion pictures, he would have added, and so is the director. And especially one with the scope of the very brilliant Vincent Sherman. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Mr. Sherman.
Joan, I'm very grateful. I hadn't realized I was such a remarkable fellow.
Oh, but you are, Vincent. When an actor doesn't mind getting up at 5 a.m. to work for you, you are remarkable. Remember how many of those early calls we all had working for you in Goodbye, My Fancy?
Yes, and I apologize for ruining your sleep, Frank.
Apologize? Vincent, I'd think nothing of getting up at 2 a.m. for you.
Oh, and greater love hath no actor than for a sleep. It's been a long time since I've heard a finer tribute. Incidentally, if I may, I'd like to say how much I enjoyed working with Frank Lovejoy as my co-star in Goodbye, My Fancy.
And may I add, the gentleman is really an actor.
Well, thank you, Vincent. And, Joan, there isn't anything I can say about you that everybody doesn't already know. You're wonderful.
Say, before this turns into a mutual admiration society, don't you think we'd better say goodnight?
Yes.
Good night.
Good night, Vincent. Good night, Frank.
Good night. Night.
Good night, everyone.
The Screen Director's Playhouse, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from April 5th, 1951. And that brings to a close this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVeonier. Thanks for listening.